Good morning. So what does it mean when, you know, you have these plans, really good plans, and you've got a lot of hope that this is going to be a great project, and it just doesn't seem to happen? It never really takes off. It's really rather disappointing. Or maybe you have a brilliant idea about something, a really good idea. But the problem is nobody seems to agree with you on that. Nobody seems to get it. What happens then? Or maybe you're in a conversation. Maybe this happens to you quite often. You're in a conversation with several people, and you honestly feel like, I don't think I've got anything to contribute. You want to say something, but it's like it doesn't really connect. Or there's no words at all. Maybe you came today feeling lonely, really deeply lonely. And you honestly look around and you think, I don't know how many friends I really have. What does that mean? Suppose someone says to you, or they're just sharing with you, they just had a great vacation, a really great time, you know, it was really exciting, or something really positive happened to this family, and deep down you feel jealous. You feel jealous. What happens then? Or when you're around people, and the longer you're around people, the more they seem to really irritate you. Really irritate you. What about that? No one seems to really value my amazing gifts. I have these amazing talents and gifts, and I feel so unappreciated. I feel so unappreciated. But what does Peter say about that? We're going to look at the very last verse of 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 18. What does Peter say about that? It doesn't have to be necessarily something negative. It could actually be something positive. You know, I mean, you think about you want to be compassionate and kind and humble. And you want to be patient, and you want to be good, and you want to learn to be forbearing. You want to be forgiving. You really want to be a loving person, and it seems like it's so elusive to you, or it's there in the morning but gone by the afternoon. The theme this morning is grow, grow. 2 Peter. In chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and the English Standard Version reads this way, but grow, grow, but grow. The idea really goes back to verse 17. You therefore, beloved, remember how Peter keeps using that word beloved to those he's writing, those of you who are loved by the Lord, and you know this beforehand, he's referring to the Lord's return. Take care, folks. You beloved, take care that you're not carried away. Don't get carried away with error. Error of lawless people. And don't lose your stability. Whoop! No, you stay stable. But grow, grow. I have a friend named Tom who said to me, You know, Tom, we are not models of perfection. I hope you don't think that about yourself or that we're giving you the impression that we need to be models of perfection. What we are really is models of growth. Models of growth. Grow. Grow. Can you point to an area in your life over the last, say, 6 months, maybe 12 months, maybe in the last few weeks even, that you're growing. You're growing in this particular area. You seem like you're connecting with Jesus on that. He is at work in your heart, your life. You feel like you're growing. Is there an area that you're growing in? Before we really launch in here, I want you to think a little bit about really the essence of life itself. And I'm a kind of person that like to boil things down to its core. Life really is about birth and growth. And your birth was very short period, right? And the rest of your life, it's all been about growing. And growing like Jesus grew. Remember how he was described? He grew in wisdom, but he also grew in stature. He grew physically. He grew intellectually. He grew spiritually. He grew in favor with God. He grew relationally. He grew socially. He grew in favor with man. We're really growing in many directions, many, many directions. And Peter actually sees it the same way. If you look over in his first book, I invite you just to jump over to his first book, 1 Peter. I'm going to point out a couple of verses here on this theme of birth and growth. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 23, Peter writes these words, "As since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." He says, folks, you this is how you came to know the Lord. You were birthed. The Lord birthed you. And notice the picture there is a seed, like a seed. The Word of God is like a seed. And so the gospel, the Word of God, is used in a variety of ways. It could be for you. It could have been maybe at a Bible camp. For you, it might have been at a Sunday school class. It might have been in your own home. My case was my own mother led me to the Lord. But the Lord uses someone to bring the Word of God, the message of the gospel, and the Spirit of God breathes into you life. You're born again. You're birthed. And the Word of God is central in that. It's like a seed. So Jesus did something for you. He did something for you on the cross. But he also does something in you by his Spirit. He does something in you. See, born again is actually not the work of the cross. Born again is actually the work of the Spirit. And as Jesus redeems us from our sins, he breathes life into us. We become alive by the Spirit of God. And that word is like seed. Now, if you drop down, this is Peter talking here. He talks about birth. He also talks about growth. He talks about birth through the seed of the Word, but he talks about growth in a slightly different way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like newborn infants, crave, long, earnestly desire the spiritual, pure milk, so that you may grow up." So the Lord uses his word like a seed to birth us, and then he uses his word like milk to grow us, to grow us. The goal for your life and mine is not to solve all the problems and questions we might have. The goal actually is to grow in Christ's likeness, to grow in him. And the New Testament uses those pictures a lot. I mean, if you jump over to 1 John, he talks about, "I write to you, fathers. I write to you, young men. I write to you, children." And he sees that there's levels of growth in the kingdom. We're like little children, and yet we become like teenagers, like young men, young women growing up, and we become like fathers and mothers who bear fruit and have family. And it is both in a very real way, but also in a spiritual way. The Lord wants you to grow. And those areas that you think are really irritating you or bothering you or these longings for more compassion out of you. It simply means we need to grow. And we always need to grow. There's always new areas of growth in our lives. So we find ourselves here in 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to notice just three ways. That's all we're going to look at this morning. Just three ways in which we are to grow. We're really looking, we're putting verse 18 under the microscope. But grow in grace, in knowledge, and in glory. Grace, knowledge, and glory. Grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and grow in giving glory to the Lord Jesus now and forevermore. Those are the areas. The Lord doesn't put things way out of reach. Grace, knowledge, and glory. But notice it's all tied in. This is very important. If you have your Bible there, it's all tied into the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All three of those are connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you probably know this, but the word Lord, that's really not his name. That's his title, like president or king. Jesus was his birth name. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. But this Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the promised one. He is the King. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's fashionable in the church, down through even the centuries, but certainly in our generation, is to sort of dice Jesus up a little bit. Man, I like that Jesus part. I like that Savior part. Oh, that warms my heart. But that Lord part, that part where he's the king, that part where he's the commander-in-chief, ooh, I'm a little hesitant about that one. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. Jesus said, you know, why do you even call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Which gives us great insight in what he understands lordship to mean. Lordship to Jesus is we obey the scriptures. We listen to what he says and we put those truths into practice. So let's look at these three areas here. Grace, knowledge, and glory. Growing in grace. Growing in grace. That's interesting, isn't it? How do you connect that? Wouldn't you think if you were writing that, would you say, now grow in obedience? Grow in obedience. Yes, let's grow in obedience. Well, that's certainly biblical. Of course that is. But he doesn't say that. He says grow in grace. And he doesn't mean graciousness. This is not a human characteristic that you're growing in. This is growing in the grace of God that's come toward us. Toward us. So we have to ask ourselves, well, how has Jesus been gracious to me? How has he been gracious to me? I was reflecting on these verses even early this morning. While we were still weak, at the right time, Jesus died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Tom was weak and ungodly. And sinful, a sinner, Jesus' love, we sang about it just a few minutes ago, his grace is poured out on us, washing us clean. But how do you grow in that? How do you grow in that kind of grace? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus mad at you? Is Jesus Christ mad at you? Of course he is. That's what a lot of people think. Maybe that's what you think. Deep down, you think, he ain't too happy with me. He's mad at me. If you think that Jesus Christ is mad at you, friend, I don't
think you really understand the gospel. I don't think you understand the gospel. If we think he's mad at us. Our problem is, so often, this happens with me, I'm sure it happens with you, we always start with ourselves, and we work our way up to God. We always start with our faith. It's always about our obedience. It's always about how our life is pleasing God. That's a great theme, but that's not where it ever starts. It never starts with your faith. It always starts with the grace of God. And it never works out from your feelings. Your feelings are not the source of truth. You might feel a certain way and you think, well, this must be absolutely true. No, the compass that you have and I have is the Word of God. What does the Word of God actually say? The Word of God actually says that when you were weak and you were ungodly and that you, when you were a sinner, Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it all. It never starts with our feelings. It starts with the Word. Let me tell you a story. The story is found in John chapter 8, by the way. So Jesus is in the temple. He's teaching. He's engaging with people, and they're listening. They're really dialed in. And all of a sudden, whoa, there's commotion over here. And here come these Pharisees. Oh, there they are. They're the Pharisees, the religious goody-two-shoes, and they got this gal by the elbows, and they're hauling her in, like the police. And they haul her right to the center of this teaching session. And boy, they yell, and they say, hey, this woman here, we caught her in bed with another man. We caught her in bed. She's caught in the act of adultery. Now, Moses says she ought to be stoned. Mr. Carpenter, what do you say? What do you say about that? It gets pretty quiet. Jesus kneels down. He starts to write in the sand. Wouldn't you like to know someday what he was actually writing? Was he doodling? Was he writing people's names? What was he writing? We don't know. Writing in the sand. And finally he does speak up. He says, I tell you what, boys. Whoever is without any sin here, you get to fling it first. You get to throw the stone first. Those of you who are without any sin, you throw the first stone. Then it got real quiet. And all you could hear is a little pat, pat, pat of feet. And the oldest guy, and then the next oldest, and the next oldest, wandered off. And really, all that was left is Jesus and this woman. And he looks at that woman and says, who condemns you? Where are they? Where's your judge? Who condemns you? Then he said, this is very important. Neither do I condemn you. He could look her in the eye and say, I ain't mad at you. Now, why could he say that? Oh, because he just can overlook things. He just kind of overlooks things, and that's just the way God is. No. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. Wow. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we, through our poverty, might become rich. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has gone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Messiah the iniquity of us all. He said, neither do I condemn you. This is really important. You check me out. It's in John chapter 8. He said, neither do I condemn you. It's a two-part sermon here. Point one, I don't condemn you. Point two, stop your sinning. That's how you grow in grace. You get the order straight. I don't condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin. That's how you grow. And it's the grace of God that makes you grow. And that's why the very last thing that Peter, what can I say here? I know. I'm going to tell him, grow. Grow in the grace of Jesus. Never, ever stop reminding yourself how wonderful the gospel is. And that takes you to take your little fingers off of sin and let go of it. Because we won't let go. But when the grace of God washes over us, we let go. We let go. Growing in grace. Growing in knowledge. Growing in knowing Him. Growing in knowing Him. That's another big word for Peter. He uses it 5, 6, 7 times here in his little letter here. In the first chapter, it's like pepper. He just keeps repeating it. And friends, this is more than just facts here. This is very personal. Grow in your personal relationship with the Lord. It's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, what do you say? We get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. They're up in Galilee. Let's go across the water." "Okay, let's do that." So they get in the boat, and all of a sudden a big storm comes over the ocean. And it's a bad storm. Bad, bad, bad storm. And Jesus, he's zonked. He is asleep in the boat, down in the stern. He's sound asleep. He didn't hear the rain. He didn't hear the thunder. He didn't hear the lightning. He didn't hear any of it. He's sound asleep. And the disciples, now these guys are fishermen. They're not those little tourists that are going, "Oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no. We're the professionals." No, they were the professionals. They've been in a lot of storms, and they think what? They think they're going to die. "We're perishing." They come running in, bump, 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 you know, and wake him up out of a dead sleep. And don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that we're perishing? We're talking about knowing, growing and knowing the Lord. And Jesus wakes up, and you know, he says, "Thank you, boys, for waking me up, because this is our last hour, so let's all pray." And you know, that ain't it at all, is it? He looks them boys in the eye and says, "Why are you so afraid? How is it you have no faith?" They didn't expect that at all. They expected that, you know, he's sleeping on the job, get up and do whatever God does and fix this thing, whatever he can do, I don't know. But we're drowning. We're going to drown. He goes, "No, no, 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 no. How is it you have no faith? You don't have any faith." So he goes out, he stands out on the deck, and he goes, "Hush." And it was like unbelievable. Mr. Sunshine comes out. And the storm is gone, and the waves go. And you know what they said? "Who is this man? Who is this man?" Oh, they didn't know him? Here, let me introduce you to Jesus. They'd been with him. They'd been walking with him, saw his miracles. They saw all of it. They heard his teaching, but they had more to learn. And that's what Peter's trying to say here. Same thing. Grow in the grace of God. Grow in knowing God. Grow in knowing the Lord. Grow in knowing Him personally. Sometimes we struggle because we want to grow, but we don't even hardly have the appetite. Years ago, I was a youth pastor in Round Lake Baptist Church up in Gladwin, Michigan. I was coming out of Moody Bible Institute. It was actually a summer ministry opportunity. And I know I love those kids, but I found myself found myself trying to do more creating appetite than actually feeding anyone. It's a challenge when our appetite just isn't there. And Peter says, you need to grow in knowing the Lord. Grow in knowing the Lord. Let me show you a verse that's been helpful to me on that way. It's over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and also verse 17. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is breathed out by God, and it's useful. The scriptures are useful. So as I look, if you've been in my office at all, you've seen I collect a lot of useless knickknacks and mostly Packer stuff, but that is not useless. So my daughter, she went to Japan, and she got one of these here Lucky Cats. It's solar powered, and I don't know how much of the solar has powered this one, but that arm, you know the Lucky Cat. It's like, what are you gonna do with that, right? Now, I got something else to show you. Little clay fish. You probably can't see it very well. You go, what's that? What do you do with that? Oh, let me show you. This one I bought in Moldova. You use it to call your wife, and it's Notice I share those things when she ain't here. And she does listen. This is how people look at the scriptures. You know, oh, isn't that a nice book? You know, but we really aren't using it very well. Or you go, what can I get out of that? It can be absolutely life-changing. The scriptures are useful. They're profitable. We learn. The scriptures teach us, right? Teaching us. Doctrine, says the King James. But it also rebukes and corrects. The Bible is, you're reading stories, you're reading letters from Paul, you're reading the life of Jesus, and boom, and then here's the way to live. The scriptures will correct you and rebuke us, right? But also trains us how to live. This is how you get to know the Lord. As you come underneath the scriptures, you allow it to teach you and rebuke you and correct you and me. And train us in righteousness. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you growing in a right relationship with Him? See, it's more than just beliefs, isn't it? And behavior. Some of us are real good with our beliefs, real good with our behavior, but we're not so good at the relationship. And it's all fundamentally about knowing Him in relationship. Thirdly and lastly, then, this morning, grow in the glory, glorifying Jesus. To Jesus be the glory, both now and forevermore. To Him be the glory. Probably the key verse on this, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Isn't that great? That gives you a focus. It gives you a purpose. Very practical. Glorifying God isn't something, some sort of a theological concept that we put back in our theological file in our brain. No, it's being practical and giving God glory in everything that we do. We grow in that. It gives life your purpose. Gives you something to live for. What I love about the Bible is it tells me how to live. The scriptures tell me things like, it's not by might, Tom. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. But it also shows me why I should live. Live for the glory of God. Live for the advancement of the kingdom. Live for His majesty and giving Him praise and honor. And it can be a cure for depression. Those of us who struggle with that, you feel hopeless, don't you? Hopelessness. But as you allow these concepts, these truths from God's word to come in, grace, growing in His grace, growing in knowing Him, and living for His glory, living for the glory of God, and then you can wash those dishes for the glory of God. And you can spend time with your grandkids for the glory of God. That's just aimlessly, purposely, what am I doing with my life? There's purpose there. You could be nice to that cat for the glory of God. Well, that's going too far. I have a friend named Pastor Gordy. Pastor Gordy, he went through a rough period of time, and he said to me, he said, Tom, what I did on Sundays, he said, I just imagined, you know, I just taking another brick, just another brick, and putting it on the wall and helping build the global kingdom of God. That's living for his glory, whether we feel like it or whether we don't, whether we're in a rough patch or things are going well. We live for the glory of God. So do you see how this all fits together? It all fits together here. Am I a growing Christian? Are you a growing Christian? I mean, look at last year. Have you grown over the last year? And next year, summer 2020, will there be areas in your life where you can see, I really have grown. I really have grown. And if so, are you growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Because he is the central focus of Christianity. If you're getting nothing else from First Free Boone, the message is Jesus, knowing Jesus in a relationship, transforming us on our way to heaven. Growing in his grace, the grace of Jesus, learning to depend on him more and more and more. Growing in knowledge, but not just intellectually. That's great. We read books and sharpen ourselves. That's wonderful. I applaud that. But fundamentally, it's personal. It's Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abides in me, and I in him, that person brings forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Getting to know him. And then glory. You want the Lord to look big. You know, it's just taking the same philosophy of John the Baptist. He must increase. I must. That's giving God the glory. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know, if his kingdom's going to come, then my kingdom and your kingdom, got to go. We give him the glory. We don't set the agenda and push the agenda on the Lord. It's really not like he bends toward us. We bend toward him. Friend, are you growing in grace? Are you growing in knowledge? Are you growing in giving God the glory in everything you do and say? Let's pray. Lord, you do want us to grow. You want us to truly grow. And you spell it out. It's all in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in his grace. Growing in knowing him. Growing and giving him glory. Help us to reflect on that today. This is the Lord's Day. Help us to take some time this afternoon, look at our lives. Where am I at with those things? Lord, would you meet us this week as we take these things and put them into practice? A friend, maybe you just need help in connecting with God to begin with. You know, it's really as simple as God loves you, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son for you, for us. If you believe on him, you turn to him, you see that he died on that cross for your sins. He rose again. Friend, it really happened. Put your faith in the scriptures. Put your faith in the word of God. You experience eternal life for now and forever, and you'll never perish. You can open your heart to Jesus right here, right now. If we can be of help to you in your spiritual journey in any way we can, we'd love to do that. Lord, would you meet us, and would you grow us? In your name we pray. Amen.